God's people, let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. If you have your black pew Bibles, I believe it's on page 1741. Romans chapter 8. Again, that's page 1741 of the pew Bible. And in Romans chapter 8, we are looking at verses 18 through 22. Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 22. And before we read the Word of God, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful that You are a God who condescends and speaks to us, Your people, Your Word, and that You don't leave us in the dark. You also don't just give us what we think are happy and pleasant things to hear, but You are real with us. You tell us exactly the truth because You're the God of truth. And so, Father, we pray that we will receive Your Word with faith, hope, and love and obedience as we hear it this morning from Your Word. We pray and ask for Your help by Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So Romans chapter 8, and we're looking at verses 18 through 22. These are God's holy, inerrant, and infallible words. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now." Those are God's words that we will look at this morning. Verses 18 through 22, our passage, is meant to help us persevere in faith and not throw our hope away because of things happening in our lives. So if suffering comes, because that's the topic here in context of our adoption as being children of God. If suffering comes, then we're not losing our hope. And that's why he's writing. So stand firm with Christ is the call. In all the frustrations you might have, and all hardships and all sufferings, don't throw away your hope. Don't throw away your hope in Christ when you suffer, because it's worth it and will surely lead to glory. That's what we have been taught and are being taught in this passage. Your adoption, your inheritance as an heir of God. You go back to verse 17. If children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, then that we may also be glorified together. We have an inheritance that we've learned is everything. And that includes God Himself. So your adoption, your inheritance, your being a child of God will never end, never cease to be, never be lessened in any way, but He will bring you on to glory forever with Him, no matter what happens in this life. For Jesus desires that we be with Him where He is. John 17, that was His prayer. He desires that we be with Him where He is, to see His glory, to behold Himself, and to be in glory forever. And that prayer that He prayed in John 17 is already answered, yes and amen. But you also know that Jesus also prayed in John 17, "I do not ask you to take them," He's praying to the Father, "I do not ask you to take them out of the world." And so the Father answers that prayer, yes and amen. Not until the right time when the days are numbered for each of His children. And this is what Paul knew and how he could say, for to me to live is Christ, to die gain. And you remember that he said that in the book of Philippians, the letter to the Philippian church, as he suffered at that time as he wrote it in prison. He suffered for Christ, for the sake of Christ, in prison. That in whatever this earth brought him in life and death through suffering, it was all for good. And that's where we're getting to. Romans 8:28. We're almost there. It's all for good. For the child of God. And it was all for Christ and would lead to gain and glory forever with Him, with Jesus forever. And so you ought to be encouraged in your sufferings. In all your sufferings for Christ in union with Him. Because what the Lord teaches us is for the purpose that you will not be shaken by the sufferings we must endure. And we are called to what 2 Corinthians 4 says. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. That's Romans 8. Letting our light shine out of darkness. And the suffering that comes from that. That's the whole point of Romans so far. From being a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, remember the most important verse or theme verse in Romans, Paul said in chapter 1, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The proclamation of the gospel is at the center of this letter. And all of God's people are part of that proclamation. To be witnessing, to be evangelizing, like the psalm says, to declare the great works of God to all peoples. You, Jesus has said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And right before that, he had said in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 5, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed, happy are you when all others revile and persecute you. And they say, they say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake." Blessed and happy. And that's what Paul's getting to, Romans 8. To glory. And for your good. And so as we continue to go through the passage about, this passage about suffering, we have two things this morning that we'll look at. And the first is suffering is bigger than you. Suffering is bigger than you. Suffering goes to the whole creation. You look at the passage, verse 19 to 22. Verse 19 says, "The creation eagerly waits." Verse 20, "The creation was subjected to futility." Verse 21, "The creation will be delivered into the glorious liberty, set free." And verse 22, "The whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs." Suffers. So we're not speaking, and Paul's not speaking here of just how this applies to you, the individual sitting in your chair now, and your personal individual suffering. He is doing that. He's speaking directly to you, the individual who suffers, but not just you. Because verse 16 and 17 says this, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. It's all plural. All of God's children suffer in union with Jesus Christ. And that's not just here. That's not merely in Kansas City. That's not merely in Missouri or in Kansas. It's not only in America, but throughout the whole entire creation, the whole world. Since the time of the fall in Genesis 3. All children of God. And so often we're thinking merely of ourselves. We could probably get a little further than that and think of not just our country. We think of Brazil. We think of South Sudan. We think of Kenya and our congregation. But outside of that, the rest of the world doesn't really come to mind when we're thinking of Romans 8. And when we're thinking of these things that God has for us. But we have to think of suffering as bigger than just us. Paul's showing that here. Where would we go when trying to encourage God's people concerning suffering in Christ? Where would we go? We would not do what the Lord through Paul is doing here. We would not say that this leads to glory. We wouldn't talk about the big picture level of suffering of all of God's children throughout all of creation since Genesis 3. We would talk about ways to not suffer. But this is God. And we sit under His teaching to learn from Him, not under Andrew's teaching or your teaching to learn about Him. This is what we need to know because He speaks it to us. And so we must know it. We have to know it. Maybe not what we want to know, but what we need to know. And so that we can say with Paul, suffering is worth it. That's what he's saying in this passage. Because verse 17, it leads us to glory with Christ forever. Look at verse 22 again. It says, "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now." The whole creation groans, labors, suffering. There's death. Verse 21, "Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." The creation is in slavery, in bondage, in corruption. Your suffering is not merely personal. There's a bigger picture here. Your suffering is part of something global. And you think of it in the world, there is natural decaying that happens. There's ruin, dissolution, there's perishing of all the creatures. Not just man, but animals. There's something out of order. There's something that brings corruption about it all. And it's not just affecting you. It's affecting everyone. That's why people die. That's why trees get disease and they rot and fall to the ground. Be warned here not to think of all your suffering as that which is based upon something that you did personally. Can be. But don't think of all your suffering as something that is something because of something you did. Like the blind man. He was born blind. Is it something the Jews thought, well, it must be something he did or his parents did? No, it wasn't either. It was for the glory of God. Or think of Job. Same thing. Verse 20. "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope." In the coming weeks we'll look more into all of this, but the creation is the one in the grip of futility, not just mankind and not just you. And so think through that. This suffering is bigger than just you or me this morning. Put yourself in the right perspective. God wants to give you, He's giving you the right perspective. Put yourself into a right perspective of suffering that happens all over the world. It happens at the present time, right now. A few weeks ago, I emailed the church, so most of you, and whether you check that email or not, doesn't matter. Most of you, though, have, if you're a Christian, you've been paying attention to some news, you will have heard of a church in China that's being persecuted. Most of you have heard of that. It's a Reformed church. It is a Presbyterian church that is being persecuted. They have, in these past weeks, been suffering as pastors and wives have been taken by the government of China to unknown locations. This is not only happening to pastors, it's happening to elders and their wives, it's happening to seminary students, so people learning and training to be pastors. It's happening to just regular church members too. Some had officials come to their homes and called them to sign pledges to only worship at meeting places that conform to the laws of the government of China. And so here's Chow Yu's account. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. That he gave a few weeks ago. He said, two community police officers came to my home and just left. They wanted me to write a pledge. So a pledge to only worship according to what the government of China wanted them to worship as. So I wrote one. I, Chow Yu, promise to only worship God at Christian meeting places that conform to the teachings of Scripture. I will never go to a meeting place that does not conform to the teachings of Scripture. That's essentially what the Covenanters faced in Scotland. At worship at the King's churches, or worship Jesus Christ, the King. The Covenanters, those at that time who believed Jesus Christ as the mediatorial King, overall, He's sitting on the throne now. He's King over all nations and all rulers. Psalm 2. They chose to worship and bow the knee to the King of Kings instead of an earthly lesser king, the King of England and Scotland. And that's what that man that we just read about in China has done. Sufferings in union with Christ is beyond just you and this congregation. Chow Yu is serving Christ, putting himself in the way of suffering because he is submitting to his King, Christ. And he's doing so at all times as best he can. And by the grace of God. The Covenanters doing the same thing. We're persecuted, we're oppressed, we're killed, we're put and burned at the stake for their beliefs that Christ is King. And we, having joined this denomination, are now in that line of Covenanters. But more so than that, greater than that, we are Christians. We are children of God, and therefore we will suffer with Christ. But our suffering is not alone. It is together with the church global, with all the children of God throughout all of the creation. And so suffering is bigger than you. The second point, suffering compared to glory. Suffering compared to glory. Look at verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Then we should stop comparing. We should stop comparing suffering and glory, because suffering is not worthy to be compared to glory. Did you know that? Well, how? You might ask, how? You might ask, is this that is suffering worth it? When it starts to come, you know, we've detailed what suffering is a few weeks ago. You ask, do I really have to suffer? When you're going through trials and afflictions in your body and you're asking, why? Why, Lord? You're saying, I don't want this. Some of you here today saying that about your bodies and struggles in your body. You tell someone the gospel and you're laughed at or you're yelled at, you're spit upon like we've talked about. You're pushed aside, you're shunned. Maybe even you take that close relationship you have with someone and you keep pushing and keep pushing to the brink of the breaking point of that relationship. And you don't want to go and break that relationship, and so you cease. And with others, you're tempted not to say anything at all anymore. And in all those scenarios and more, you're comparing, whether you know it or not, you're comparing suffering to glory. You would rather think more of suffering. That is, that you would not suffer rather than you would think on glory and what awaits you through your redemption in Jesus Christ. You'd rather think about suffering. When you do any of that, you're comparing suffering and glory. And you're saying, I'd rather not suffer because glory is not worth that suffering. Glory is unworthy of my suffering. And that's the opposite of what the Lord is showing us here. That's the opposite of what the Lord is showing us. And in that, if you're thinking the opposite, if you're going about your life thinking that opposite, that you're thinking and holding up suffering and you're comparing glory and you're saying suffering is not worth this. Glory is not worth this suffering that I have to go through. I don't want to suffer. But Jesus says right here, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, verse 17, if indeed we suffer with Him. You have to suffer with Him. And if you're an heir of God, he says elsewhere, if you're an heir of God, then you will be persecuted. And you take that and you turn it around and you make it the opposite of what it truly is. And you're calling God a liar. He's stating the truth. Suffering is worth it. Glory awaits you. And you say, no, it's not worth it. You're calling God a liar. Glory is beyond comparison. Suffering is so less than glory, it is not worth to be compared to it. It's like reading. To go through the struggle of learning how to read as a child or as an adult, the benefits of that little struggle that you go through can't compare to all the blessings of knowing how to read. But that's an earthly example. And you can compare that. But you cannot compare glory at all. Glory is above and beyond our comprehension. We have only here the Lord speaking to us like babies through the Word, through His Word and His descriptions of it in Scripture. But what it truly is goes far beyond just what is described here. It's indescribable. You can't put it into words what glory is. And that's just a description of glory. Not to mention the experience of eternity and union and communion with Jesus Christ. Forever. Beloved, eternal life. With Him. With no sin. You can't even understand that. With no pain. You can't understand that. No struggle. No suffering there in glory. The sufferings of this life being weighed are like a feather compared to an eternal weight of glory. Like that of all things in the earth and heavens put together. To give it to you more directly, the words there to be comparing, That word is not in the original. It's supplied, rightly supplied probably, to perhaps make sense of it to us in our language of English. But it's saying the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to glory. Just plain not worthy. Sufferings are not worthy to glory. There is nothing compared to it. And yet we're often doing what? We're often found uplifting sufferings and thinking about sufferings to be more than they are in comparison with that glory that awaits us with Jesus forever. Sufferings for your life, beloved, must be looked at and seen as what they truly are. As shown to you here by our Lord through Paul as the path to glory. Sufferings are the path to glory. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Paul asked that question, or he implied it. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Are you ashamed of Jesus Christ? Are you ashamed of the inheritance that you have in union with Jesus Christ, including glory and God Himself? Paul says, verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Earlier we heard of that Chinese church, Reformed and Presbyterian Church, where they are being persecuted and they're having people, police officers standing before their meeting place where they meet to worship. So they can't enter. They have people standing outside their homes so they can't leave their homes to go to worship. And what is true of that church? They are still finding ways to gather together wherever they can gather together and worship. Because they don't care. They don't see sufferings as anything compared to glory. They see glory. Here's the pastor, what he said. And before he was taken into custody, he wrote this letter knowing it was probably going to happen. And I want you to think about what he says. It's part of the letter, and I skip around in the letter, and it's a long quote. But I want you to compare what he says with Romans 8, verse 18. And then compare that with yourself. I believe he knows, the pastor knows and grasps Romans 8, 18. I don't know about you, and I don't know about me. He said this, regardless of which regime I live under now or in the future, as long as the secular government continues to persecute the church, violating human consciences that belong to God alone, I will continue my faithful disobedience. That is obedience to God and disobedience to the government. For the entire commission God has given me is to let more Chinese people know through my actions that the hope of humanity and society is only in the redemption of Christ and the supernatural, gracious sovereignty of God. If God decides to use the persecution of this communist regime against the church to help more Chinese people to despair of their futures, to lead them through a wilderness of spiritual disillusionment, and through this to make them know Jesus, if through this He continues disciplining and building up His church, then I am joyfully willing to submit to God's plans, for His plans are always benevolent and good. If I am imprisoned for a long or short period of time, if I can help reduce the authorities' fear of my faith and of my Savior, I am very joyfully willing to help them in this way. But I know that only when I renounce all the wickedness of this persecution against the church and use peaceful means to disobey, will I truly be able to help the souls of the authorities and law enforcement. I hope God uses me by means of first losing my personal freedom to tell those who have deprived of my personal freedom that there is an authority higher than their authority, that there is a freedom that they cannot restrain, a freedom that fills the church of the crucified and risen Jesus Christ. Moreover, I must point out that persecution against the Lord's church and against all Chinese people who believe in Jesus Christ is the most wicked and most horrendous evil of Chinese society. This is not only a sin against Christians, it is also a sin against all non-Christians. For the government is brutally and ruthlessly threatening them and hindering them from coming to Jesus. There is no greater wickedness in the world than this. Those who lock me up will one day be locked up by angels. Those who interrogate me will finally be questioned and judged by Christ. When I think of this, the Lord fills me with a natural compassion and grief toward those who are attempting to and actively imprisoning me. Pray that the Lord would use me, that He would grant me patience and wisdom, that I might take the gospel to them. And then he ended with this: separate me from my wife and children, ruin my reputation, destroy my life and my family. The authorities are capable of doing all of these things. However, no one in this world can force me to renounce my faith. No one can make me change my life, and no one can raise me from the dead. Except, of course, he's saying, except Jesus Christ. Give up everything. Take everything away. But you can't take his faith, and you can't take away his resurrection that he already has in Christ Jesus. And so, beloved, suffering is going on for the children of God throughout the world. God's children are being persecuted. And we've said before, if things continue to go the way they are in our nation, it will be no different for us in what he's dealing with. That pastor was dealing with. Except by the mercy of God. God's children are being persecuted. Are you being faithful to the calling that God has on your life to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Being unashamed of the gospel leads to suffering. It implies suffering. And that all leads to suffering for you and all the children of God. And so the question is to you, do you put suffering above and beyond glory? Do you even attempt to compare suffering with glory? Then turn now and be zealous and repent. Some of you may still think, I don't want suffering. I want a peaceful life away from all the struggles. I love the world, the things of the world. I'm having fun now, and I don't need heartache and affliction and suffering and persecution. I don't need bodily or mental or physical, emotional abuse, whatever it all is. All the abuses that you can come up with that they talk about in our society. You're called right now to turn and believe the gospel and turn to Jesus Christ. Believe and repent of your sins. Come unto the Father through the Son alone for eternal life and for a life that leads to glory. Look at verse 17 again. If children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him. That, so that we may also be glorified together with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, be zealous and repent. Be zealous and repent. Glory is coming, and it's going to be revealed to all of us who are God's children. We will enter into that lasting, forever presence of the King of Kings, our Redeemer, our risen Savior. And if He suffered thus to gain for us glory where He is now, then it is guaranteed, it is sealed, that we will enter glory with Him forever too, through suffering. Through suffering. Do not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we come praising Your holy name. We're thankful that You are a God who so looks down upon us and does not give us what we deserve. But You have seen us in Jesus Christ. We deserve the pains of hell forever. Death forever. Where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. That's what we deserve. For all the goodness that we can produce in and of ourselves, that's what we deserve. And yet, Father, You look down upon us, Your children. And You grant to us everything. Everything good. Glory. And You've shown that the way to glory is through suffering. And so Jesus commanded us, take up your cross and follow Me. Father, we pray that You will help us to take up our cross and follow after You faithfully. In all righteousness and holiness, by Your grace and by Your Holy Spirit, we cannot do it of ourselves. By ourselves, we want to run and flee away from any kind of or form of suffering or struggle or affliction or persecution. But Father, we pray that You will equip us by Your Spirit to follow faithfully after You. That You would grant to us at the right time Your perfect presence and glory. That which is already guaranteed and sealed for us in Christ alone and by the Spirit. Father, we pray for the church in China and any other churches that are coming under such heavy persecution and suffering. We pray for the saints there that You will strengthen them to continue bowing the knee to Christ alone. That You would cause the government to bow the knee to Christ alone. As we pray for our own government, that they would bow the knee, and that they would not try to lead us astray or call us to make pledges against Your Son. We have taken vows. We pray that we will be able to keep those vows. And pray for Your strength to do it and Your grace to do it. This You will give us. And when suffering comes, You will give us the grace to withstand it and move past it, no matter what comes, because we know that in the end we come to You with no more pain, no more tears, no more sin, no more suffering. And so, Father, we give You all the praise because You're a faithful God to keep Your promises. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.